Rebbe's Ketzutza is not Yotze B'Dayanim at all. And he brought a rise we brought from a few Pesukim in Yecheskel, and also from the Pasuk of Yireisa Melekecha, that it's Loi Nitan Leishavin, seemingly not a din in returning the money at all, even on the person who did the Aver. Rebbe Lazar had said that it is a din to return the money. The Gemara brought on top of Samach Beis, because the Pasuk by Rebbe says, V'chai Ochicha Imach, and we said, you have to return him the money so that he can be chayimach. So if he took this money illegally in terms of ribbis, at least by ribbis kitzutz or ribbis daraisa, you have to return the money. Morgan was very clear, ribbis drabanan, you don't, but at least by ribbis daraisa, you would. It says the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, I have a chayich chimach maya, but there's Rabbi Yochanan who says you don't have to return even Ribbis Daraisa. What does he do with the extra words of a chayich chimach that it says in the parsha of Ribbis? See, Dash is a totally different drasha, has nothing to do with Dine Ribbis at all. If you have two people who are traveling, and one of them has a jug of water, a liter of water, so the problem is that from where they are to where they have to get to till they can get more water, the 1 liter is not enough to split between the two of them. If they each take a half a liter of water, they're not going to make it. But one of them could take it, drink, the friend will die, but he'll make it. What do you do? Right? Horrible, horrible shaila. What do you do with such a shaila? So Darsh ben Petura, the original psak was with Hashem, someone named Ben Petura, that mutav sheyishtu shneim v'yamusu v'yiru echamem yisash shachaveri. Enecharami. He said the halacha is you're not allowed to kill somebody. This is either directly killing or grum, and therefore the halacha is has been betura that you split it, and that's what you would do. You split it; each one takes a little bit. Now, if someone's going to die immediately, so the mafreshim say that it wouldn't make a difference, then you could take it. But since over here there is chayei shah involved by giving the person a half a liter, etc., whatever, they will live some amount of time. That's what Mepatura said, you have to split it. Achabar Rebbe Akiva, believe me, Rebbe Akiva came and dashed into our pasuk. Pasuk is v'chayei achicha imach. So he says, your friend should live, you have a mitzvah to keep your friend alive, but only with you. Chayecha koyman l'chayei chavercha. That you have a mitzvah to keep yourself alive first, before you have a mitzvah to keep your friend alive, and therefore make it, if you have a bottle of water, you could keep the bottle of water, drink the entire thing, make sure you can get to the Yishuv, wherever you, there would be more water, before you have to worry about your friend. The Mefarshim discuss, is this only a case where one of them is the owner of the water, one of them has the water, what if it's a third party's water, bottle of water, what do you do in that case, do you fight over it? That's already under Shalaz, again, not Nogea or Sugi over here, but we're bringing it over here, is this is what Rabbi Yochanan would do with the Pasuk of Echai Chichmach, nothing to do with Dinei Ribbis, but teaching this other halacha that in terms of keeping yourself alive, you have a mitzvah to keep yourself alive before you have a mitzvah to worry about somebody else. Back to our sugya. Mitzvah. The Brisa says, Hiniach lemavien mosho ribis. If Yaakov had taken ribis, Yaakov dies, and he leaves over money to his children that he acquired illegally ribis. Now, if Yaakov had a choiv that he was mechuyev to someone, when he dies, the children have to pay off that chay from the nechasim that they got b'Yerusha. If Yaakov was mazik somebody and he owed money from a hezik, when Yaakov dies, the children have to pay off that chay from the money that the father left over. That's clear. Over here, Yaakov took ribis from somebody. And then he dies, and he leaves it over to his children, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc. What is the halach over there? The Brisa says, even though the children know this is ribis money, they don't have to return the money, they're allowed to keep the money. It's definitely not a din in the children. We had this Gemara, but Kamal ended out. It's not a deal that everybody agrees that children definitely do not have to return the money. But, says the Gemara, which mashmur you can be died from in here, and the Bach adds in the words, Inu hu deinu chayvim lahachser. Ha avuan chayvim lahachser. It's mashmur from the Brisa. The Brisa is telling you a chiddush. The children don't have to return the money. Mashmur, it's only because they're the Yershim. But the father himself, if he's alive, does have to return the money. It's only did in the Yershim at Patur. But the father would be mechuyib. It's mashmur like a belaser. Says the Gemara, no. Really, not the father and not the children have to return the money of ribis in a regular situation. Like Rabbi Yochanan said, even by ribis ketzutz, there's no din to return the money. So why is the brisa focus on the children? Should even say that the father's potter? Because the ikar chiddush of this brisa is not the first case we just discussed, it's the next case. The next case says, if the father got ribis, not cash, but he got something that's easily identifiable that he got it illegally. In which case, again, in that case, as Tosafot points out, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even that, the father's not mechuyev to return. But in most cases, the father would return it, as Tosafot says on top, because on the third line, So normally the father would return it because it's embarrassing for him. Everybody knows Ribbis is Osir, and everybody knows this guy Yaakov now has a horse that he got from Ribbis. Mistum, he's going to return it. Oh. So now he doesn't return it and he dies. Now what do the children do? So the other bride says, Nichlan avia paravatalis for called Avar Masuyim, Chayim al Haksim, they covered Aviyim. So over there, just like the father would have returned it, we'll see in a second why he didn't. But assuming the father would have returned it, but he didn't have time to, then the children, not mitam dine ribis, mitam kibrova aim, have a din to also return a Dover Masuyim. But if it's not a Dover Masuyim, then both the children and the father, again, according to Bi'echaron, would have no din to return it at all. So therefore, Tanayin Amarashim, and the Rashim, we're talking about cash, also talked about the children, but the Kachidish of the Gemara is the safe. Says the Gemara, Vahani Mipnei Kovar Avim and Michaev. I don't understand. You're telling me now, Mitam Dine Ribis, the way we're learning this price, according to Rabbi Yechon, there's no din to return the money. Not the father, not the children, not anybody. The only reason he's telling me the children have to return it is because keep it off the aim, because the father should have returned it and he didn't. So they return it instead. Why is there a din to keep it off the aim? Kari Kai, why don't we read over here? V'nasi ba'amcho lo'isar, we dash when it comes to giving a klala to a nasi, we dashin, but oisei maisa amcha, only if the nasi, and the same thing we're applying to kibud aveim, when he's a shemir tayra mitzvah. If he's not a shemir tayra mitzvah, you don't have a din of kovid by a nasi, and you wouldn't have a din of kovid over here by kibud aveim as well. And over here, the father was over the aver of ribbis. So the father is an aver of ribbis. Why does a child have a din of kibud aveim over here to return it to be mechabed his father if the father's not a ba'amcha? Says the Gemara, Kedamar of Pinchas, Mishmei Derava, he said it in terms of a different context, B'shasha Tzuva, in a different context he said that answer. Hachanayim B'shasha Tzuva. We're talking about a case where the father did Tzuva. If the father did Tzuva, then already the regular Dine Kibra Avim applies. I don't say, Yasa Tzuva, my boy Gabay. So why did the father himself return it? If you're telling me that such an inyan when he does tshuva by a dover masuya and bisham the lag and the laz, you should return it. Not even that's not even clear. That's what we call machzir midine shemaim. It just seems to be an extra dimitam laz. So then, why did the father himself return it? And if the father himself didn't return it, then the father doesn't care about his covet. So why does the kid have to care? So mashlehispik lachzir eshamais. We're talking about a case where maybe on his deathbed the father did tshuva, and then he said, "By the way, this thing I have is from ribbis. I didn't have a chance to return it, and Nebuch the father died." So now, says the Braisa, the children have a dimish from Kibbut Aveim. Now the father did tshuva, to taka be mechaba the father, and do what the father would have done, which is to return it. But in a chami, we could read the Braisa, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Rebbe's regular Rebbe's Kitsutsa, if it's cash, then there is no halacha of returning it whatsoever. Mace, we have another Braisa. Hakazlonim, someone who steals, Umalvi Ribis, people who are owed Ribis, Avabisha Govu, when they collect their money, Machzir, and they have to return it. The Braisa makes no sense. Gazlonim, my Avabisha Govuika. A Gazlon doesn't collect. Right? You don't collect when you steal, you steal. That's not called collecting. Right? E Gazl Gazl, if he stole it, he stole it. E Lai Gazl, Gazlonim, Karisle, if he didn't steal, then he's not called a Gazlon. What does it mean he's collecting? It makes no sense. Ela'ema gazlanim umu mainiu malvi ribis. What type of gazlan are we talking about here in this brisa? That's what the brisa means. A gazlan who is a malvi ribis, who's called a type of gezel. So then, alfa bisha gavu machzirin. The brisa is beferish that if you collect money beribis, at least ribis kitsutsa daraisa, you have a mitzvah to return it. Beferish like Rabbi Elazar, not like Rabbi Yochanan. So how's Rabbi Yochanan going to deal with this brisa? Says the Mar Tanoi, we're going to be forced to say it's machlokes Tanoi because we have another brisa. The Braisa says, "Desanya, Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, poitrin is a malvus orif. If you have a malvo who borrows money from ribbis, or an orif, do they get an orif who took the money from the malva and gave it to the leiva, and then took the money from the leiva and gave it back to the malva? So the orif is intimately involved in the case. Both these cases, these two tanoim say, Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Elazar says they do not get malchus. You don't get malchus. Now look, it's a lav in the Torah. Multiple lavim we discussed. Why would you answer malav sheish by asay?" So why would you not get Malkus for Din Ribis? The Bryce says you don't. Why? Because we know there's halacha that you don't get Malkus by a lav shenita klase. We know by a lav like Gezel, when you steal, you don't get Malkus for stealing. Because there says, you can fix the lav. Anytime you can fix the lav by undoing it, there's no din of malchus. We learn out from the saksim sorbedishay. Only a regular lav you get malchus for. A lav that you can fix, what we call lav shenitiklase, you don't get malchus for. Says there's brisa that ribis is a lav shenitiklase. What ase is there by ribis that you're fixing? Says maikum vase lamishum damini lukuma hadra lechayra. If this brisa says that ribis is a lav shenitiklase that could be fixed, the fixing is returning the money. There's no other way to possibly even think about fixing ribbis except by returning the money. So it must be that this price holds, that it, this Tana, Reb Elazar and Nechemya hold, that you do return the money, which would be like Elazar. Mashma, there's an unwritten here Tanakama, Rashi points out, which would hold not like this. The unwritten Tanakama says, you do get Malkus. Why do you get Malkus? Because it's not enough, it's not a Lav Shon Tekase, because that Tana holds like a B'yoichanan that said that you don't return the money. If you don't return the money, it's a regular, you don't need to return the money, it's all Locha to return the money, in which case it's just a regular Lav in the Torah, when you're over it, a Lav Sheish by Maisa, you get Malkus for it. So we have over here Machlaikis in the Braisa, where you get Malkus for Ribbis. The machlekes the chayr is told you on whether it's a lav shen tekase, which is a machlekes whether there's a mitzvah to return the mammon of ribbis or not. Michlav tanakama sover lav bnei aduin, you don't have to return it, and therefore you get malchus. My kumba, so therefore we have a machlekes tanoim. Some other, it could be, and this is a strange way the Gemara is expressing this. It could be the opposite. It could be everybody in this price holds a kabbayachim. There's no din to return the money, and therefore for regular ribbis you would get malchus. But here we're talking about a special case. What's the case over here? Look, my kumvase lekroya shtara. We're talking about over here before you collected the money at all. Once you collected the money, there's no fixing it anymore. Once you collected the money, like Rabbi Yochanan said, there's no giving back the money, and therefore you'll get malchus for it. But be'etzim, as we said, there's actually a lav, possibly, when you write the shtar for ribbis by itself. Writing the shtar is already the lav. Do you get malchus for that? That is what the price is talking about. And therefore, there's a kumase likroya shtar. These tanayim that we quote, Reb Elazar and Nechemya hold, if you rip up the shtar, you're not going to be getting malchus for it, because it's only going to be an iser if it's what we call bali de gibui. If you write a shtar that ends up collecting ribbis, then already you get malchus ready for writing the shtar even. The iser was writing the shtar. Whereas if you never ended up collecting because you ripped the shtar, then you avoided the iser. So I don't understand. Microsoft. If you hold, like we see many times in shtar, that writing a shtar itself is already like you collected it. So writing the shtar itself is already like you collected the ribbis. So once you collect the ribbis, we said there's no going back on it. So then once you wrote the shtar, there's no going back on it. Vavadi Surai, you did the issue, and there's no way to fix it according to Bechelon. Vilavka Gavi Dami, if writing the shtar is not like you collected it, Holoyavad of like Klum. So there's no isser. The isser is only when you collect ribbis. So, if writing a shtar is like collecting it, then it's too late. If writing a shtar is not like you're collecting it, you didn't do anything. So what's pshat in the braisa? So maybe the braisa says mashwa again that it's machlokes tanoim about returning the ribbis itself. It's not like it's collecting, therefore you could still fix it. There's a new chiddush that in dini ribbis, it's not just the collecting of the ribbis, which is aser, it's the evaluating and making a tnai that the loiva has to pay ribbis, making that tnai itself is aser. And that tnai, everybody holds you could undo. If you never end up collecting it, if you rip up the shtar, that would not necessarily, it's not even called nitik asay, Rashi says, you never got to the lav in the first place. It's only a lav if you're going to end up doing it. If you undo the collection part of it, then you get away from the lav. And that's the machlokes over here of how you learn that. But lemaisa, we're not talking about over here where you collected the ribbis. If you collected the ribbis, for sure you get malchus. Over here, it's writing the shtar. Is that enough to get you into the parsha of ribbis? So the hachanai mistaba, that actually makes more sense. This now we have a brisa says, Mishnah says, ve'elu evrim b'loisa say, the following people are involved in the loisa say of ribbis. The malva, the loiva, the arev, because the arev, remember, takes the money from the malva, gives it to the loiva, takes the money from the loiva, gives it back to the malva. Viho edim. And Adim, who signed on a shtar of ribbis, also get malchus. What did they do? Says Mabisham Akulu Avin Maisa. Right? They're all involved. If you say we're talking about the only Arev of the Issa when you collect the money, so the Malva, the Leiv, and the Arev were involved in the collection of the money, and therefore they would get malchus. Ela Adim Ayovin. Adim, who signed on a shtar. If you tell me that the writing of the shtar itself is not enough of an iser, it's only the collection of the money. What did the Adim do? The Adim are not involved in the collection. The Adim are just involved in the original writing of the shtar. Ella Allah Shamina, the Shuma Milsi Shmamina, that not only is the Issa Ribbis the collection of the money, but the Issa Ribbis is actually creating the Tanai in the first place, and therefore that's why the Adam would be involved, because they were involved in that creation of the Tanai. Therefore, this whole Brisa that's talking about fixing is not talking about fixing when you collect it. When you collect it, like Rabbi Yechanan said, there's no way to fix it. But the writing of the shtar, that is fixable, though fixable is the wrong word, Rashi says. It's not really nitik lase. It says you never over the lav if it never comes to day gibur. Amar of Safra. Rav Safra says a cryptic statement. We have to figure out exactly what Rav Safra means. Safra says, "Kol she'ilu b'dinehem moitzian miloive limalve." If in the dinim of the goyim, right? Goyim assumingly do ribis. So if in the dine goyim you create a transaction, a halva, that you would that according to the erkoyis of the goyim, the loiva would have to pay the malve. B'dinenu machzirin mimalve laloiva. Then in our halacha, if the malva collected that money, the malva would have to return that money. That's what he said. And kol shilu b'dinam ein mitzim leiva the malva. And then he said the opposite as well. If in goyish halacha, you would not be able to force the leiva to pay the money, b'dinenu ein machzirin mimalva laloiva. Then in our halacha, you would not return it if the malva collected it. He would not have to return the money. What is he talking about? What cases? What's he explaining? What's he more sense? I'm going to buy a live dress. First of all, b'klalu, the rule doesn't seem to make sense. Very sobisob. Right, the halacha is one of the big cases we're going to have throughout the parak is if you borrow a commodity. So I borrow a box of oranges, and I want to return to you a box of oranges. So the problem is that the price fluctuates, and it could be when I return to you, it's going to be worth more money. That's a classic case of ribbis. Talking about baderech halva, not baderech mekach u'memcha. Not I'm buying off of you and paying you. No, I'm actually borrowing and giving you back. That sobisob would be usur. Says Mara, "V'hari sabasa de b'dineya might see me leiva lemalva." Right? If you, according to the goyim, no question. If I borrow oranges, you have to pay back oranges. That's the goyim would say for sure. U'b'dineinu ain machzir mi malva leleiva. But in our halacha, you would not be machzir leleiva leleiva that it went up, because worst case scenario, we always say that is considered avak ribis. And ribis durabanan, we always said you don't return. The only machlekes we have is by ribis daraisa. Ribbis Durabanan Sabasa is only Ribbis Durabanan. We'll talk about it much more throughout the parak. And you would not return that. So how can we say the rule is, if the Goyim collect it, then we have to give it back? You see over here, Goyim collects Sabasa, but we definitely don't give back Sabasa. It's only Ribbis Durabanan. Says the Gemara Malay, Inu Bataris Pekodan Asaliyade. When we say we're talking about Goyim collecting, that means if the Goy collects Ribbis, then we consider that Ribbis, and you'd have to give it back if you collected it. When a Goy collects Sabasa, the Goy doesn't consider it Ribbis. The guy says, that's not ribbis at all. You borrowed oranges from me. You have to give me back. It means, for whatever reason, you have my oranges. You have to give me back the oranges. That's not ribbis, says the going into the goyim. That's not a halva at all. That's a pikodin. So we're not getting into how we consider it. But when we set our rule that when a goy collects ribbis, that's an indication that it's real ribbis. And you'd have to give it back. Collecting sabasa from a goy's perspective is not collecting ribbis. It's just a pikadon. You gave me oranges, I'm giving you back oranges. That's all. That's how a guy looks at it. Therefore, that does not fit into our rule. Okay, so what was he talking about? So says the Gemara, Amalei bin Elavashi. I have another case. Very mashkanta b'loy nachaisa. This is another classic case, which was when I lend you money, and so you borrow money from me, and I'm going to live in your house. Okay, I'm going to live in your house for a while, and I'm not going to pay you for it, or I'm going to use your field and eat the crops from the field for a while. It's called a mashkanta. It's really like a mashkin, but I'm eating the fruits of the field. And then when you come to pay me back, so there's two ways we can do it now. We can do mashkanta bin achaisa, which means that if you borrowed from me 100, now you owe me 100, but I ate 75 shekel worth of fruit, so you only owe me 25. That's the simple, easy case. No ribbis in that case, pashup shah. Mashkanta b'loin achaisa means that I eat the fruits as an added benefit, and then you still have to pay me back the original 100 shekel you borrowed. So that's ribbis. Okay. But, says the Gemara, Vashkanta b'lechaisa, the b'dinei ma'itziyam ilayv l'malve, according to the Goyim, if the malva over here did not get the fruits, the leiva took them, you would definitely take them away from the leiva and give them back to the malva. Ubidineinu ein machzir mimalva leleiva. Here also, this is only a ribbis derabanan, right? It's not like you said, give me 100 or give me back 120. It's, you could use my field, maybe you won't get crops, maybe you won't get crops, etc. So it's definitely only going to be ribbis derabanan. Ribbis derabanan, we know you don't return. So this also doesn't fit the rule that he said. Amalei, no. This also is not included in our rule. When they look at that, you know how the goyim look at that? They don't look at it as, you borrowed money, you were using my field as ribbis. They look at it as, you gave me money, I bought your field off of you for that money, and then 6 months later, you come buy the field back from me. They don't look at it as a loan at all. They look at it as a purchase and a repurchase. And therefore, that, does not fit into the rule we're talking about. So what is the rule we're talking about? Elokol should be the name, the comer of Safa Mayas Tashmino. So what is his case? Where is the case where a goy considers it ribbis and therefore his rules apply? He says, he's teaching the regular basic case. Kol shilu b'dinei ma'itzim ilai v'lamalva b'dinei ma'chzim imalva l'laiva ma'niyu b'ribis kitzutza ukadir b'lazer. By regular ribis kitzutza, where you say, I'm going to lend you 100, you owe me back 120. So according to the guy, you owe me 120. If you collect that extra 20, that's real ribis daraisa. And then again, like Rabbi Lazar, who says ribis daraisa returns, then b'dinei new, you'd have to return that money. This rule doesn't work according to Rabbi Yechon, obviously, because according to Rabbi Yechon, he never returned ribis. But according to Rabbi Lazar, would, and he's passing like Rabbi Lazar. And the other side of his halacha, kol shi b'dineiim ein maitzin, what's the case where by a goy there's ribis that a goy would not necessarily collect, and b'dineinu ein machzirin, by us you don't have to return, ribis mukdemes or ribis mucheres. Ribis mukdemes or ribis mucheres means you know you want to borrow money from someone next week, so this week you give him a present. Or the opposite, that's mukdemes. Mucheres means you borrow money, you pay him back, 2 weeks later you send him a thank you note with a present. So it's not necessarily connected to the halva, and you never agreed to pay that extra money. So b'dinei hem, they would never be able to collect that, because it was never agreement, it was just an extra nice thing I'm doing. Now, in our perspective, that's still us. It's, again, it's the Rabbanan. It's only ribbis Rabbanan, because it's not ribbis kitzutza. You didn't make a deal to pay that ribbis, and therefore you would not have to return that money. So since in that case, the guy cannot force the guy to give it, because it was just an extra present that he's giving, therefore by us, that's an indication it's not real ribbis, and by us, you would not have to return the money at all. Adkan, said thank yous and all things. We'll get to ribbis farm later on in the parak. Okay, Adkan, introduction to this parak. Okay, now we get into the meat of the parak. The Mishnah discussed the case. The Mishnah said 2 cases of ribbis. The first case of ribbis was the case of ribbis kitzutza, which was when you borrow 100, you pay back 120. When you borrow 3, you pay back 4. Fine. That is clear, easy, ribbis deraisa. The Mishnah then said a case, which the Gemara already explained, is a case of ribbis derabon. Let's just go back, quickly turn back to Samach and Beis. Let's read the words of the Mishnah, because our Gemara is going to struggle to try to figure out what those words mean. The Mishnah said, Ketzad, we're on the third line of the Mishnah on Samach and Beis, Lokachimenu chitim bedin erzav hakur, v'chein hashar. So I bought from you wheat, Pashup Shah, just reading Pashup Shah. I bought from you wheat, and I was supposed to pay you 25 shekel for a core of wheat. Okay, and that was the very fixed price. But I didn't pay you yet. Okay, so I took the wheat. I have not yet paid you. Amdu achitin belamadinarim. Okay, so I didn't get the wheat yet. And now you're supposed to deliver to me the wheat whenever you're supposed to deliver the wheat. And now the wheat price goes up. So I want the wheat now so I can go sell it and get and make a profit. So I bought it from you for 25. I'm going to sell it for 30. But so I said to you, please give me the wheat so I can go ahead and sell it now. I want to buy wine with it so I can make a profit and buy wine. He says to him, he says, you know what? Instead of me delivering you the wheat and you going and selling the wheat and getting 30 for that wheat and then going and buy wine, I have wine, or I will have wine, I should say. And instead, I'm going to give you 30 worth of wine. So which means you paid over here 25 for the wheat and you're actually getting back 30. So this is right. The Mishnah says, and the person over here does not have wine to deliver right now. Then the Mishnah says, that's also. That's also the Rabbanan. Now, again, it's only the Rabbanan. First of all, it was not necessarily agreed before on what the price was. And second of all, this is clearly more a mecher type of transaction, not a halva type of transaction. So it's only going to be also the Rabbanan. But the Bryce says, the Mishnah said 2 points. A, we're talking about a case where you owed the money from the chita and now you're trying to change that money into yayin. And the Mishnah said it's usher only in the case where the person who's trying to deliver the wine does not have the wine. Okay, if he does have the wine, it would smash it would be mutter. No problem. I can give you the wine instead of the chita and I can give you it to a higher price of 30. That's clear from the Mishnah. What's going on? Says the Gemara. V'chi ein lo yayin mayhave. If you're telling me that when he has wine, it's mutter, then even if he does not have the wine, it should also be mutter. Why? V'atanan, it should be, or tanya, tanan, it's a machlaikis and rashi and taisus, whether it's a brice or a mishnah, later on a dafayin beis, ein price can all pay yourself, shiyotza, ashar. We have a problem in general. When you go to buy fruits, you're paying now to get fruits later, maybe the price will change. So the mishnah says later on, once it's yotza hashar, they have a fixed price was set, you can do that. And there's a couple of different reasons we'll see when we get to the more later on. Either because once it's a fixed price, we don't think it's going to change. But more importantly, it's because once it's a fixed price, it's ke'ilu, the person has the availability to deliver you the fruits right now. If he delivered to you the fruits right now, and they became your fruits, and you did a kinah mashiach on them, and then they went up in price, is there any issue? Obviously not. It's your fruits. Your fruits go up in price, it's no problem. So the Chazal said, when we're dealing here with ribbis derabanan, as long as he could deliver to you the fruits, that's good enough. Okay, the Gemara Rashi says because it's like a Misha Para. Once you sign a deal, he has to deliver you your fruits. So even though you don't actually own them, but you own them for Misha Para, that's considered owning enough for Dinei Ribbis. That's not a problem of Ribbis. So Frakta Gemara, what does the Mishnah say? That if he doesn't have the wine, it's no good. L'chai, we're talking about where the wine price was set. And once the wine price is set, I'm allowed to pay now, and you'll deliver me the wine, whatever it is, based on that price, even if you don't have. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Ein price can't pay such yatzer shah. Yatzer shah price can alf bishen lezeh yesh lezeh, even though he doesn't have. But he can easily buy from somebody else. It's available in the market now. It's easy. So what's going on in our Mishnah? Why does our Mishnah say that if the person who's delivering the meicher over here is delivering, instead of delivering the wheat, he wants to deliver wine, but he does not have the wine, it's usser. The chayr, who cares if he has the wine? As long as the wine was set by a fixed price, that's good enough. So what's pshat in our mission? This is the struggle we're going to have in our mission. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, I'll tell you the difference. Our Mishnah is not talking about where he's paying any money. Our Mishnah is talking about where he owed money. So there's actually no money transferring over here. Remember, everything we're going to be talking about by Ribbis Darbanan is all dependent on how it looks. Okay, this is all a question about, does this look like a sale or does this look like a loan? Says Rabbi, if I go ahead and pay you money, I pay you money for the chitin, now you're supposed to deliver me chitin, and you don't deliver me chitin, and instead you want to change the chitin into yayin, and the price of yayin is already fixed, that's fine. Then instead of purchasing you chitin, I'm purchasing from you yayin for the fixed price, everything's fine and dandy. But that's not what's going on over here. Over here, we're talking about where I owed you money, and I never actually gave you the money here, right? The money for the chitin you never gave me, it's owed money. That looks more like a halvor. If I owe you money, and I go to you, owe me money. So you owe me money, and I go to you by your granary. I say, hey, give me money. You owe me 100 shekel. You owe me. But last week you bought from me 100 shekel. Give me 100 shekel because I want to go buy chitim. And Amar lechitim yeshishani oisilcha. No problem. Instead of giving you money, you could take from my chita itself, no problem. And instead of taking it now, because you don't need all the wheat now, right? I will deliver it to you wheat over the next 12 months. The Brisa says, Aser! You're not allowed to do that. The Lavki Surah Baliyadai Dami, because over here he never paid cash for the wheat. He was just rolling over his debt into the wheat. Rolling over debt into the wheat, says this Brisa, looks like halva. It looks like I lent you 100 and you're paying me back wheat at a higher price than 100. Therefore, that looks like that it's going to be a case of halva and it would be us. Says Rabbi, that's what's going on in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, I paid for the wheat, paid the 25 for the wheat. Then you never delivered the wheat. You owe me money now. You owe me that money. You're rolling it over into the wine. That does not work. Because when you're rolling a debt into something else at a higher price, that is ribbis. So I'm going to buy you. I don't understand. If that's the issue, he'd love to sue up all the other dummy. If you tell me anytime you roll a debt over, it's like ribbis, because it's like avob. My iria ain't loy. I feel yesh lay nami. So then what's the difference if the person has the wine or doesn't have the wine? Our mission was mashma only because he doesn't have the wine, it's usher. If he does have the wine, it's fine. But according to what Rabbi explained, according to what the Brisa said it, the Brisa said he was halach al granny. The person had the wheat. He had the wheat to deliver now. He just wants to deliver it later because the guy doesn't want it now. The Brisa said it doesn't matter. If you're not paying me cash now, it's not a transaction. It's a halvan. It's usher. So in that case, in our mission also, when you're rolling over the debt of the wheat into wine, it should not make a difference whether you have the wine or doesn't have the wine. It should be also anyways. And our Mishnah is only mash, but it's also because you don't have the wine. So that cannot be pshat in our Mishnah. So what's pshat in our Mishnah? Apparently there was a big base medrash by Rav Chiya where they sat and learned Dinei Ribbis all the time, because we're going to see this come up, this expression, many times throughout the parak. They were learning by Ribbis by Rav Chiya. The Tani Rav Safra Ribbis to Rav Chiya. Yesh Drem Shem Mutarim. Certain things really are mutter. Vasurim they have Ramas Ribbis. But it's trickery. What's the case? Classic. Case it. Amalei avani mana. I'd like to borrow 100 shekel from you. Amalei mana in the chitim amani yeshli. I'll give you chitin instead. Okay, no problem. The chitin's good, and then I can go sell the chitin if I want to. Shani nice lecha. Nasal chitim amana. So I give you chitin, and now you owe me 100. And then I say, you know what? It's hard for me to get to the market right now with this wheat. So I'm willing to sell it back to you at a cheaper price. So I borrowed it from you, and I owe you 100. Now I'm going to sell it back to you for 90. Okay? V'chaz v'lachmenu b'asim rabba, 24 out of 25, sella. So now really what happened over here is, you sold me wheat, you lent me wheat, I owe you money for wheat, I'm selling that wheat back to you, and there's two separate transactions going on here. But if you look at the end of the whole situation, what happened now? I got 90 shekel, and I owe you 100 shekel. That's trickery. It says, it's really mutter, a daraisa, of course. This is a case of haramas ribis, because we've done these fancy transactions, but at the end of the day, I got 90 and I owe you 100. And that is ribis. So what does that have to do with our Mishnah? And that's what's going on in our Mishnah as well. Hakanam. There's a part of our Mishnah missing. Our Mishnah started in the middle of the story. And the story really in our Mishnah is as follows. I'd like to borrow 30 dinar. I don't have 30 dinar. I'll give you chita for 30 dinar. No problem. That's a totally valid transaction. And then the other guy buys them back for 25. So now we've gotten just now into our Haramas Ribis case, where I ended up at the end of the day with 25 dinar in my hand, and I owe you 30. Okay. Now, instead of you providing me now, giving me now the 30, you want to give me wine. Does that make the situation better? We said it's haramas ribis because I borrowed 20, ends up with 25 and I owe you 30. What if instead of giving you 30, I give you wine? That already does not look so much like a ribis case. That already looks more like a buy and sell case. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah says. He is the chamal aloivem, yavale b'shoishim dinar and peru, dekosh shakominei, v'leslamo. If instead of me paying you 30, I pay you wine, and I have wine, then it just looks like we bought and sold wine, and that's not a case of a ramas ribis. The shahr is already set. If I don't have wine, vade mishko zuzimine, it looks like I'm owing you cash, and mixik ribis. So our mission is exactly that case, but the mission is read backwards now. Right, the shot is that I owed you money from somewhere else, from the previous deal we did by the chitin, and I want to pay you back. So it depends what I pay you back. If I pay you back cash, it's mixed ribis. If I pay you back wine, it's fine, but that's only if I have the wine. If I don't have the wine, that doesn't work. And that would be a nice shot in the Mishnah, and this halacha is true. It says, it's a very nice halacha, and it's a very beautiful halacha, but it's nothing to do with our Mishnah. Why? Amalei Rava. Yachi tein li chiti? Tamei chiti mi bayalei. He's not asking for the chitin back. He's asking for the money you owe me for the chitin, right? I took chitin from you, I owe you money. Instead of paying me the money, you're paying me wine. But it's not the chitin I want back, it's the demei chitin. That doesn't fit in our Mishnah. So tani demei chitin, change. Shani moichran, that I'm selling them to you? It's not that I'm selling you now the chitin, it's that I sold you the chitin already. That also doesn't fit in the Mishnah. Okay, change that. Tani shemechatu. Says, we said, according to where we learned the Mishnah, the price changed. It was 25, and now I want to do it for 30. But according to what you just said, in our case, it always was 30. It was 30. The whole idea was I borrowed the chitin for 30. So Machi come in. Listen, but you can fit that in B'doichikas also. But he said, no, it doesn't mean now I'm treating it as 30. The whole time the chitin was worth 30, and when I borrowed them, I owed you 30. The Yayin Eindler says, but dinners of Akur v'chenesh arkatani. The Mishnah B'Ferish said that we just read that the price of wheat in our Mishnah's case was 25. It was not 30. So while your halacha might be true, and if I borrow the wheat for 30, and then I owe you the money, and then you want to roll it into wine, and at a higher price, you could do that if you have the wine, but you can't do that if you don't have the wine, because then it looks like a ramas ribis. That cannot possibly be the case of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah was talking about a case where the wheat was 25, not 30. And therefore that whole case can't fit. The halacha is true, but it can't fit the Mishnah. So we're back to where we started from, which is, what is the case of the Mishnah where I'm buying wheat off of you, you're not delivering me the wheat, and then later on you want to change the wheat into wine, and the Mishnah says it's usher only if you don't have the wine, but if you do have the wine, it's okay. If we're talking about Paisik Ashad, then who cares if you have the wine or not? And if that's not the case, that doesn't fit in the words of the Mishnah, we have to wait till tomorrow to see another Pshat on how to read this Mishnah.